filling in this morning on behalf of Chairman O'Neill. My name is Roger Charlotte, for those of you who may not have met me previously. And we'll get right to it, because we've got a tight schedule here this morning for a walking tour that will take place, I believe, at 10:15. Is that correct?
Yep.
I would like to first introduce a couple of folks, although Jim Hamilton, he's the interim UUP local union president and instructional support technician in science. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
And also Braden White, but Braden hasn't yet arrived. He is the SGA president and student council member. So we'll go right to the minutes. I think everyone had received a copy, and unless anyone has any questions or thoughts about any changes, I do want to point out that there is one change on page 7. Where we show UUP.
It shows
CSEA. We changed it to UUP.
This morning.
But absent that, unless anyone else has any...
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Joe. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. New business. The annual report was sent to everyone via email, and we need a motion to approve and adopt the President's 2017 and 18 annual report as the Council's annual report. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at it? Okay, great. And do I have a motion to approve and adopt?
So moved.
Motion's made by Chloe-Ann. Seconded.
Second.
Tom? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I have no old business to talk about, and the chairman's report, unfortunately, I'm sort of, just here. So we'll move on to the president's report. Dr. Safran.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to do it kind of in a handoff fashion, because I know time is limited. Today, so I want to start, I guess, by saying that our enrollments are solid. Our financial environment remains challenging, and so with respect to enrollment, overall, it's just above 3,200, with nearly 2,800 being full-time, and so this is an increase over last year. We're very happy about that. Campus housing is at capacity. Some rooms are tripled, right? Some male students at least were sharing rooms with RDs, due to lack of space. We hope to undo that as time goes by, but I don't think we've succeeded yet. And our game design and development degree is our hottest new major. And so so moving to the financial end of things, Sean, would you like to talk a little bit about our current fiscal picture, how the salary increases are impacting us, and some steps we're taking to keep ourselves fiscally fit? And also a couple of words about our facilities and what we're doing with them.
So everybody, I'm sure everybody's read the paper about the UUP contract. That's going to say that has been ratified. We expect it to be paid out November, December area. So $1.8 million is what it means to our budget. That will be added right on the top of our current salary cost for the year. So that's a pretty big one to try to absorb. Next year it'll be $1.1 million because there will be a payout. So it's retro to July of 2016, and they're going to split the retro dollars into 2 years to try to give us a little bit of time to absorb it. So this year, what it means for our budget is our salaries as they stand at this moment, plus $1.8 million, and then just tax rate on the top. They don't cover it. They don't, you know, we just have to find the dollars for it. The next year it will be $1.1 million. So not knowing exactly what we were going to do with our enrollment, I projected flat, so at a target of about $25 million. We have submitted our budget for this year. With the salary increases, the budget is $28.6 million. So we will be using some reserves undoubtedly to help offset that. You know, but as I'm looking at enrollment numbers, I'm seeing that right now, raw numbers, like 142 full-time students all. So what that means to me, 100 students is $680,000. So 142 students is about $1 million. So that's going to be a huge, huge help, you know, if we are able to retain those for spring semester. So that's pretty important. The good news is we do have the reserves. We are able to, you know, go forward. You know, hopefully we won't have to spend $3.5 million for the next 3 years, because that's going to deplete most of our reserves. So looking at increasing enrollments and retaining the students is a big deal for us, and it looks like those things are starting to come together for us. You know, and just a couple things quick. We ran the percentages on how we spend our money. So OTPS, which is everything besides personal service and utilities, recharges, 9.9%, so 10% of our budget, that's all, to run the campus. The PSR, 72% of our $28 million budget. Recharges, which is some of the money that goes back to system admin, is less than 1%. Temp service, about 9%. Utilities, 8%. So those are some of the, you know, as you think about how the budget is split up and how the money goes, you know, those are some of the things that that we look at to go forward with that. So all in all, budget stable, no enrollment up, which brings us more revenue, and, you know, this year we're okay. You know, we're okay. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with all of that. Facilities, we've been pretty lucky. Again, capital money, we talk about capital money. We're going to look at some of how we're spending some of that money in the future when we go for our walk later on. Michael, do you want to just give a couple points as to the facilities?
Sure. I mean, construction on the campus hasn't stopped, as you'll see in a few minutes. We're continuing with a major renovation of Cheney Dining Hall, continuing with a major renovation, exterior renovation of Dana Hall. We're working on design for an interior renovation of Dana Hall. There's work ongoing. We've done quite a bit of site work. I'm hoping that walking to Dana Hall, you'll see some of that. And we're continuing that. We're working with the State University Construction Fund as we speak on a study which will further our site improvements on campus. Specifically, we're concentrating on Cornell Drive, French Hall, Roselle Plaza, areas that are in need. The other big project that we'll be working on, that we're working on this fall, is our facilities master plan update. So our facilities master plan right now is dated 2012. We've outgrown that plan, if you will. And our consultants will be on campus the 1st of October. And hopefully that update will provide us guidance at least through the next 5 years.
So I should have introduced Michael McCormick, our Director of Facilities Planning, Capital Facilities Planning.
And, you know, a couple of additional things. You know, the folks in Buildings and Grounds really have been working really hard, right, in terms of the construction and keeping everything moving on campus. And I can't imagine just the logistical issues that are involved. It's been a real challenge. And yet they've managed to stay ahead of it. And the goal is for Cheney to reopen in January. And so it will have been foreclosed for a very short period of time. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, our completion date for Cheney Dining Hall remains December 21st.
Yeah.
We're on schedule. We fell behind schedule, at least by my schedule, at Dana Hall by a few weeks. Contractor schedule, my schedule, a little bit different. We were there, but we lost some ground due to availability of materials and, quite frankly, availability of people to work. The contractor was struggling finding people in the trades.
Yeah, it's a challenge, which actually is theoretically good for us, mm-hmm. in that hopefully means higher salaries in those areas and more students going into those areas, which we offer. But it's a challenging environment across the state. for the trades and probably across the country. Anyway, you know, there are some beautiful new facilities that you'll have a chance to see on the tour today, so I won't give away any secrets as to what they are, but prepare to have your eyes pop up.
Well, I think we should, if we go to Cheney today, we should plan on having a meeting there, maybe in the lobby or something, after we open in January, so people can appreciate it.
Exactly, you can see the difference. Awesome. And I do want to mention that in addition to revenues coming from tuition and so forth, we've also done very well with grants. And so we just got that last PIF grant, right? I told you we had gotten five, but they only announced four of them. Okay, well, the fifth one finally was announced and then was delayed because the governor wanted to announce it. Okay, so we couldn't tell anybody, but now we can. Okay, and that was $299,000, okay, for our solar and events project, and so we're very excited about that. And we got an additional $450,000 for the second year of our Liberty Partnership project, which is important too. And so something that I'd like to tell you about, though if you've read the president's report, you've probably already read, okay, is about the student opinion system. Okay, this is something that happens every 3 years. Okay, and so 3 years ago, I was pretty happy with ours. We took first place among SUNY state-operated campuses, which are the ones who participate, so there are 27 of them. So we took first place in three areas, okay, library resources, library support, and tutoring, okay, which are, of course, very important to our students. And we were in the top five in about 20 categories. So we thought that was really good. Okay? So when this one came around, we were, you know, concerned. How were we going to do? Because these surveys give you kind of bragging rights for 3 years. And I don't know about the rest of everybody, but I'm awfully tired about hearing of Potsdam's food service. Right? We took first place again. Anyway. So, like I said, we took first place in three areas 3 years ago. I would have been very happy if we had taken it in, say, five or six, but we didn't. We took it in 14, okay, which was remarkable, and then we had second place in 12 more, okay? And when it came to the colleges of technology, the seven of us, right, out of the 61 categories, we took first place in 40 of them. Right, so it's just a remarkable result. And again, when you look at what the areas are that we took first place, right, academic advising in the major, availability of faculty outside of class, class size, tutoring services, health services, counseling services, career planning services, help in finding jobs during college, right, classroom facilities, laboratory facilities, study areas, library services, library resources, and access to computers and related technologies were where we took first place. And if you say, what do these things have in common? Okay, and the answer is these are all our student support services. Every one of those things is how we support our students to bring them to be retained and to graduation. And we took first place in every single area of that. So much so that when I was down at the inauguration of the new president down at Tompkins Cortland Community College last Friday, I ran into the person, her name is Johanna, what's her last name?
Duncan
Portier, right? And she's the senior vice chancellor for community colleges. And she had seen this and had an interesting question for me. How do you afford to do this, right? And the answer is because that's where we choose to spend our money. Okay, we have to make hard choices. Okay, and we put our money into things that support learning and that support our students. It's our number one priority. And so I'm very proud about that. And, you know, some of the second places were in pretty good places too, right? The quality of instruction, general academic advising, availability of gen ed, services to off-campus and commuter students, computing support services, financial aid, course registration, bookstore, availability of online courses, faculty respect for students, health and welfare programs, and student input into college policies. Okay, and so when you look at these areas in the aggregate, okay, no one office can take credit for this. This clearly involves every single person on campus. So this is really a remarkable thing, okay, about how everyone on campus is ultra-focused, okay, on support and success for our students, our faculty, our staff, our administration. Every single person on campus is laser-focused on this. And this isn't, you know, me bragging. I'm the president. You expect me to brag, right? This isn't our PR office saying how great we are. Okay, you expect the PR office to say that. This is our students saying it. Okay, and you can't have a better result than that. So we were extremely gratified.
I think a round of congratulations is definitely in order. Yes.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
To everyone involved.
And so academic activities continue to be enhanced at SUNY Canton. Doug, can you tell us about some of the results that you've been getting with retention and graduation rates and about some of our new programs?
Yeah. Sean talked about the contractual salary increases, which pose a challenge to our budget. And the good news for our faculty at our Division of Academic Affairs is that the doing high-quality work for our individual students, for our students, is actually the same work that will drive our revenue picture. So as we have success in the things we were already doing over the past few years, it's going to continue to support the revenue picture. So I'm going to put this under the umbrella of our enrollment management approach. Our enrollment management approach focuses on three pillars. Those are targeted recruitment, meaning recruiting into programs that are under-enrolled, where there's empty seats. The class could hold 25 and there's 15 because new students won't cost us anything additional, but they'll bring in more revenue. So targeted recruitment, of course, obviously recruitment overall. Targeted recruitment, retention, graduation, completion as the most important thing for individual students, but also a retained student continues to pay us tuition year after year. And then new program development. And the key with new program development is not just to afford our existing 3,200 students more choice, but to attract new additional students. Okay, so our accomplishments, by the way, our off-term summer and winter enrollments, which is an important revenue source, again reached its highest, higher than ever before, so it keeps going up, which is important. And a measure of efficiency, our percentage of the seats that we schedule, classes with a certain number of capacity, has reached our target of 80%. That's up from 4 years ago, it was 76%. And so it's just about being really careful about how many extra adjuncts we hire and sections we spend money on. So we're being very careful. In terms of targeted recruitment, the four programs we were focusing on, those deposits increased by 14%. That's a small number in terms of pure students because, again, they were the denominator there is under-enrolled, but it's small. But what it tells us is that those efforts do work. So, in fact, this year we're expanding our targeted enrollment to include three additional under-enrolled programs try and bring students into those existing seats. Our second pillar is, for me, a real focus, retention and graduation, because this is essentially what we do for students. We bring them here against the risk, and as a healthcare person, the rule is first do no harm, and the harm we can do to a student is to cause debt without degree. That's, for me, the third rail. The students come here, they accrue debt, and then they leave with no increased ability to pay. So it's essential that we retain them all the way through to graduation. So in 2014, our retention rate was 61%, and our graduation rate was 31%. That's above an associate's degree granting institution, but below the average for a bachelor's degree institution. So our retention rate last year, the fall census, hit 70%. So we went from 61% to 70% in 3 years. That's unheard of. Our graduation rate from 31% as of June hit 44%. So that's still less than half, which makes me crazy, but to move from 31% to 44%, again, unheard of. One of the problems with the graduation rate is it's defined, the definition comes from IPEDS, and the denominator is first-time, full-time, bachelor's degree-seeking students. And then you have a separate graduation rate for first-time, full-time associate's degree granting students. So if they come in with any credit, you don't use them. they change from associate's degree to bachelor's degree, you record those as a dropout. Because they're not, they didn't start as a bachelor's degree, so they don't count. And what, did they graduate with an associate's degree? No. So that's a failure. So IPEDS is weird. So I asked Sarah, our IR person, I said, you know, what I really want to know is if a student shows up here and they start with us, I don't care how or why or what they've got before or who they are, part-time, full-time, sometime later, let's pick a time, do they leave with a certificate, associate's, or bachelor's degree? That's all I care about. That's success. So we, I was like, what word can we use so it doesn't match with any of the words that other people are already using? So we picked completion. Our completion rate in 2015 was 44%. And as of May or June, we moved that to 48%. The interesting thing is that the 2013 cohort, whose 6 years completion time frame will come up next June, is already at 51% complete. So a few more of them will complete, we hope, but we've passed kind of a cool mile marker. And so all the things that our faculty and staff have been doing have been working. And so that's very important for each individual student and also for the revenue picture. Any student who's retained, because if a student comes here and only pays us tuition for 1 year, it's about $7,000. If they pay us for 4 years, it's about $28,000. So anything we do here is supporting of the college as well as the individual students. So so in terms of retention and graduation, we're going to continue all the things we're doing with some enhancements. For example, we were awarded entrance into, we have 18 months of a supported program called Starfish, which is better than our homegrown processes, but it's going to hopefully help us support students and catch them if they're having difficulty with being successful in a particular semester. So we're going to continue that and ramp it up. And the last pillar is, of course, new program development. Last year, we had programs approved, mechatronics, cybersecurity, and early childhood care and management, all bachelor's degrees. New program proposals, which is the next step, we had last year going in the bachelor's degree online of electrical engineering technology. That's important because Global Foundries came to us and said, on our campus in Troy, Hudson, somewhere down near Hudson, Hudson Valley, they have an associate's degree in electrical engineering, and Clarkson has taken their Union campus, and they have a master's degree there. And they said, we don't have a bachelor's degree that our students can do. Can you get us a bachelor's degree? And so we said, sure. And they wanted it like 3 weeks later. But so that, so we have an industry partner who's saying, please, we want this. So electrical engineering technology, BS online, and revising our HVAC program into HVAC trades, an associate's degree for the certificate. We put out program announcements, which just is that very first step, saying we're going to be developing a bachelor's in forensic criminology, sports management, to capitalize on the interest of students, but also that may be an off-ramp for the students who come here to major in game design because they really like playing games, and then they find out how much coding is involved in designing, and they think, oh, maybe not. And so we have several off-ramps, because it's okay if someone attrits from a program, but they should not attrit from the college. They should just change their major. So potential off-ramps will be esports management, graphic and multimedia design, technological communication. So we want to keep them here towards a college degree. Okay, and so for this year, in terms of new program development, we're going to move forward with forensic criminology, esports management, electrical engineering technology online, HVAC trades, AOS, and we're moving through a PIP funding our existing industrial technology management program to include a logistics track and to move that online. I think that will serve some students. We have a program announcement out for, again, a PIP-funded program, a bachelor's degree online in sustainable construction management. This will be a track for our associate's degree construction management students to be able to move to a bachelor's degree, and of course to attract students from other community colleges who have related degrees, because this will be online. We also, this summer, were in a conversation with System, and they said, we would really like someone to develop an online psychology bachelor's degree, because one of these two, there is only one in the system online, and and the other one, there are zero. And I can't remember which is which. An online psychology bachelor's degree and a bachelor's in accounting. And we said, done. And while we were on the conference call, I emailed those department chairs who responded and said, yes, we're working on it. So we have, in terms of new program development, we continue to have a real culture of innovation and things in the pipeline that hopefully will serve students and also bring us new additional tuition revenue against what is a steep salary increase. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Doug. I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
What are our under-enrolled programs that you're doing targeted recruitment for?
Sure. The last year, the under-enrolled programs that we selected, you know, we used a few different metrics. Civil engineering, mechanical engineering, accounting, and homeland security. And this year we're adding into that mix sports management, health and fitness promotion, and power sports.
Okay. You talked about graduation rate and the kind of the goofy calculation rubric that you have to use versus your completion rate. What's your completion rate target? What's your completion rate target?
I said to the faculty, because we started at 44%, that I'm keeping that personal, but it rhymes with nifty.
Okay. Well, I won't betray your secret.
But, you know, I mean, anything we can do, the IPEDS, that formal definition of graduation rate, nationwide public bachelor's degree institutions, the average is about 50% graduation rate. For privates, it's 55. Okay. Now, we're a mixture of associates and bachelor's degree, and we're, you know, our selectivity is, would put us typically at a lower end, but why not shoot for public average?
Sure.
And if, you know, if we hit nifty, then we're going for 60. But, you know, but the cool thing is that what the techniques we're putting in place and are, in fact, showing progress, which is really confidence boosting to suggest let's keep going with all of this. Because, again, each percentage point, with 700 freshmen coming in, a percentage point change is seven students who, instead of leaving with debt but no degree, leave with basically what I often refer to as the ticket to the middle class.
And I point out something fairly obvious, which is the results on the student opinion survey indicate that the students are happy with what they're getting. And happy students retain better and graduate. Pretty straightforward. I'd like to just briefly mention two things that also are happening in this area. One is with regard to online students. We're increasingly integrating them into the life of the campus, and there have been a lot of cool things that nobody else does, like virtual career fairs, professional clothing fair, which we also make available online, our esports efforts, right? A representative on our student government, right, and 24/7 tutoring available online. We're the leaders in SUNY, in this effort, in SUNY Institute. Okay? So they look to us to set the pace. And so we're very proud of that. And just because we have to keep moving forward like all good kangaroos, right, we're taking a very serious look at Industry 4.0 and making, which is the new transition to the new industrial economy. And we want to make sure that every student at SUNY Canton has at least a basic understanding of Industry 4.0 and embedding it where it's appropriate in our various degree programs. So we've started discussions on just how to do that. And so that's going to be something important for the future. Now, it's not just in academic affairs that things are progressing. In student life, things are happening that are just amazing. So, Courtney, can you tell us about some of the new initiatives you're implementing, like the co-curricular transcript and badging and new athletic conferences and so forth?
Sure. So kind of piggybacking off from where Zvi left us, the online student initiative has grown tremendously. We've really had the opportunity to interface with online students in a way that we haven't done before. And one of the ways that we do this on the student life side is through our online portal, and I've talked about that here before. It's called Brew Life, but this year it actually really took off. Our student government leaders took the initiative to work with the student population. Last year we saw maybe 400 or 500 students using Brew Life.
level, which we thought, okay, you know, it's the inaugural year. This year we've already had over 1,000 regularly, 1,000 students regularly using Ru Life. So we moved our entire student event management system into Ru Life, where you don't see a whole lot of posters as you walk the campus. We're encouraging students to use the app and to use that portal because they can access it from the event until the morning to find out what activities are going on. And our online students have the opportunity to see the same thing that our face-to-face students see, which is really important. Through the PIF grant that we received, we've added a few initiatives. One is the co-curricular transcript, which I spoke about here before. That really launched in spring 2018. Students are actively using it now. Actually, I just had a meeting yesterday with Credentials, who houses our academic transcript. They have a SUNY contract for academic transcripts for 48 of the campuses using that. They are going to pilot with us a model co-curricular transcript, not unlike what Elon University has, which is a more visually appealing co-curricular transcript. The one that we have right now, it looks like a glorified Word document. It works. It, you know, serves the purpose. Students can utilize it to enhance their application to grad school or to an employer. This one will have our badges, our logo, our marketing efforts. So it'll be a much more user-friendly looking document. And on that track, we did begin this year. I served on the SUNY track to conference. We worked on micro-credentialing and badging. And we, this year, decided to implement two badges, which are a co-curricular spin-off of micro-credentials. The two that we began this fall are leadership development and cultural competency. And so those have both kicked off in the past few weeks. Next Friday, we have a national keynote speaker, David Flood, coming to speak. He's going to have a day-long workshop with students and a lunch, and then he's going to present to the campus. That'll be our first big leadership development activity, and our chief diversity officers have been hosting programs and events for the cultural competency batch. So we're really excited about those. In the spring, we hope to add two more badges. We're working with our Career Services Center on their initiative to see if we can make a badge that will support their efforts. And then Industry 4.0, as you mentioned, is the new upcoming thing that we're working on campus. And so we're trying to see if we can also make that into a badge that works for our students. And I see both of these as a retention effort. I see these as an opportunity for students to gain some additional skills while they're here on the campus that they can use in their life outside of campus. And students are already excited, which is helps when they're in on our initiatives. And as far as athletics, we joined the, and I think I mentioned this at the last meeting, we joined the North Athletic Conference, which is nice to finally be in a real established conference, not a big one. And we're moving forward. Our women's hockey finishes this year in the Colonial Conference, and then they will begin in the Northeast Women's Hockey League, which is a spin-off of the SUNYAC for women's hockey. It contains the five SUNYAC schools who have women's hockey, plus Mooresville and us. So we'll begin in that, and we are working toward getting in the SUNYAC for our men's hockey. Hopefully, maybe at some point I'll be able to say that for this meeting. So move forward, and eSports is off and running. Hopefully you'll see the arena on your tour today. And the grand opening for that will be October 11th, so we're really excited. That space is mind-blowing, and we've received a ton of really positive press, which I'm sure Travis will talk about.
Any questions for Courtney? And I guess she mentioned the eSports, and something that I thought was just really cool is, you know, we play, of course, SUNY schools and colleges that are in this area. But in eSports, since, you know, you don't have to actually travel there, you can play schools at a much greater distance and a couple of places you may have heard of. And so we were just in the national tournament in eSports, and our teams defeated the University of Texas at Arlington. They defeated the University of California, Irvine. We beat Penn State, okay? And then we lost in the final, so we only came in second, okay? And we lost to Florida State, okay? These are not places we normally play, okay? And so it's pretty cool, and our students are pretty excited about getting a chance to play in the big leagues. So it's a lot of fun. And, you know, even our students who participate in, you know, regular sports are excited about eSports. Many of them are gamers themselves. They like the opportunity to, in the off-season, play their compatriots from other schools. We just did that in FIFA Soccer. right? And it's just a lot of fun, and it's a good way of building camaraderie, and it's just great. So we're having a good time there. We've also had a very successful year when it comes to fundraising. And so, Anne, can you tell us a little bit about last year's results and some of our goals and accomplishments already this year?
So we did have a very successful year in 2017-18 for our fundraising. I would say that all of the various initiatives we've been putting in place to reach more alumni, to increase the number of donors, some innovative ways of reaching people and holding events and encouraging gifts. So we saw a 70% increase in the dollars raised last year, which was wonderful. And but I think one of the very significant measures that we saw last year was that it was the best year for the Canton Fund since 2012 in dollars raised. So that's very significant because the Canton Fund are unrestricted dollars. Those are the dollars that we can use for campus enhancement grants, for faculty staff development grants. We use some of that money for scholarships. We use that to provide the events, speaker series like Excellence in Leadership that we bring to campus. And so it's very important for us to have those funds available to do all of those things. But that marked also 3 years of steady increase in the number of donors, the number of alumni donors, and the dollars raised. So those are trends that we feel very good about and feel like we're on a good path to keep those going this year. We've had good success with consistency with events, holding events in areas where we have a good turnout, and then we've been working to keep that event in the same place in the same time each year, and we're getting better turnout, new people showing up, and that helps because once we engage people, then they start giving. And we finally, I say finally because I've been pushing for this for 2 years, we're finally able to do card swipe gifts at events because in the moment when people are having a wonderful time and they've met friends and they understand why it's important to give to the college, if we can get them to make a gift right then and there, so much the better. And so small things like that make it add up. We're doing a lot more online, very active social media presence. And so we've been able to add online giving and our social media outreach in addition to our traditional methods of communication through mail and face-to-face meetings with donors. You will notice that After Canton magazine, you will get it in the spring. We made that shift last year, so we had both a fall issue and a spring issue as part of our transition. So you won't get one this fall. You have to wait till spring. But it will be filled again with some great stories of alumni accomplishments. So we see in our giving some of the best gifts, and historically, looking back through the history of the fundraising program, and even now, many of the gifts that really make a big difference are bequests. And last year, we had a wonderful bequest from Al Sobey. And of course, some of you came to the Sobey Nursing School of Nursing dedication, which that gift accomplished. This year, we have a significant bequest coming from Bobby Burnham, who lived in Arizona most recently, but she was a board member for many years and has left basically her entire estate to the college. And that's a $1.2 million that's coming in this year. And Ike Cook as well, who is a board member, a new board member, and tragically was killed in an accident just a couple of weeks ago. Very unfortunate. And yet he had heard the message and set up a bequest just earlier this year. And so that's another gift that's coming in. And while there's always sadness associated with those gifts, it is the way that people are often able to make a larger commitment. And it's essential to our program. And it's one of the things that we are continuing to talk with people about because of the impact those gifts can have. Now I'll wrap up with talking about how the foundation is working with many of the other offices on campus in one of our big campus initiatives, and that is building community among online students. So since we see a lot of our enrollment growth happening in online programs, that can have a significant impact on fundraising down the road because these people will be our alumni. And if we have no connection with them now, they're not going to feel like giving later and not feel like being connected. So we've had a few online alumni come to events, but not very many. And so this year, as a pilot project, we are doing two events this fall, one in New York City and one in Syracuse, building off of successful events we've had before. We had career panels featuring alumni in both of those areas, and those were well received. So now we're holding those events, but we are working with admissions and career services and online folks to have events where we are also inviting online students and prospective students to that event in addition to alumni. And so it will be a networking with a professional focus for that event, but it also a recruitment event. And the benefit is that many of the online degree students are older, already working, and so it's exactly the kind of event where they may benefit the most from that kind of networking. We're featuring healthcare management because those are two cities where we have a lot of students who are in that program and graduates from that program, and we're bringing Morella Fiacco, the faculty member, along to those events because one of the items that came up in the survey of online students was that they wanted to meet faculty members. They wanted to meet these people who they were meeting through the computer. So we're facilitating that as well. So those are some big new things that we're doing, but we're hopeful that it's not only going to help us down the road when these students become alumni, but it will help enrollment and it will engage our current alumni even more.
Any questions for Anne? We're also doing a lot working with our colleagues in the county and the government, as well as on our Entrepreneurship Accelerator project. So, Lenora, can you tell us about some of the grants we've gotten and some of our plans for starting the first aspects of that accelerator?
Sure. So, we were notified that we received the Northern Border Regional Commission grant for $111,000. That was specifically for outfitting our Entrepreneurship Accelerator. So, you know, once it's done, filling it with all the desks and furniture, tech kit, and all of those things that we need. That's a federal grant, but it's jointly administered through the state and through the federal government. And what that tells me is that there's interest on both federal and the state side in this program. So as we move forward, we did apply through the Regional Economic Development Council process for $1.2 million towards the Entrepreneurship Accelerator. So when those awards are announced, we hope we will be among the winners. We're working on a grant application through the U.S. Department of Commerce, which has up to $3 million in capital funding possible for economic development programs, incubators, accelerators. So we're actively working on that. We've also identified an initial location. So while we're still interested in a larger project, potentially at the Jubilee Shopping Plaza, raising $6 million is a lot less easier than raising $150,000. So while we're still actively pursuing that through grants and other things, we have identified a location downtown that would be great as a starter location that would provide a co-working space for colleagues in the village and the surrounding area that typically work from home or that have small businesses and don't need a whole storefront. I've already gotten lots of inquiries about that. People are very interested. It's already nicely renovated, so we're hoping to be able to use the Northern Border money towards outfitting that space, which would allow us to have a downtown location, which makes it really easy for community members to come in and take advantage of entrepreneurship programming. We'll need staff to do that. We also have two different lines on staff, funding staff members for at least the first 3 years of the project that will help develop the programs, that will, you know, develop the relationships that we need with mentors in the community and things like that, just kind of grow the program. So we're really excited. A lot of these came together really recently. So there's a lot of good stuff happening in that regard and stuff that will cost the campus nearly nothing or nothing and potentially be a revenue generator down the road. So we're very excited about that. In ter- terms of our government relations, we proposed to host a debate between Assemblywoman Jenny and her opponent, Mark Olsik, on campus. Both campaigns have agreed, so we're working on a date in October and time. So I think that'll be a really fun way to get the community onto campus to engage in our political process, and also works with our initiatives towards more civic engagement among our student population. So I think that's a great opportunity. And I know Travis is going to speak about public relations, but before he does, I just want to give him and his team kudos for the tremendous work that they've done. As you've all seen in the annual report, the design is amazing, photography is amazing. If you go to the online version, which is available, you'll also see videos, which are amazing. It's hard to put those in print. So I just want to give them kudos. One thing I'm hearing in the community is that people are coming up to me and saying, wow, student camp is doing some awesome stuff. Wow, there's a lot going on there. And that is directly a result of the hard work of the PR team, getting the word out there, writing press release after press release after press release to cover all of the amazing initiatives that we've already talked about. So I just want to give them kudos before he even has a chance to speak.
Well, since she did that, I don't know if they've had an amazing year.
Steve, if I might add, I have never seen more positive articles in the Watertown Daily Times and Channel 7 than I have in the last year and a half. It's been unbelievable. And I credit the PR department with that, and you also, Steve.
And they have featured everything that we can be proud of, from the esports to facilities for that program to the Iron Metatronics initiative, the surveys that put us above the other three colleges. New York Business, that's a tremendous article. Every newspaper from the local to the Watertown Times, there's something everywhere, and people are coming up and saying, asking questions like about the eSport, the room. Is that used for other courses? Or, and sometimes I can't answer, but I say I'll find out. But they're talking about Kansas. My God, you're good.
Well, I mean, it's a team effort. Yeah. We need good news to talk about yourself. Yeah,
it's
good stuff,
yeah.
Okay. So as everyone has said, I think this is arguably one of the better media years we've had here in the history of the college. Esports is probably the biggest thing that's really popped in the local media and then national media. Just to think, about a year ago, we were just kind of casually talking about esports as something, and now we have a $500,000 arena and all sorts of student interest and national interest. But, locally, Watertown Daily Times gave us their front page. It was 2 weeks ago. They featured esports in four different articles. A little bit further away, but still relatively local, the Post Standard just put us on their front page. And they've written two articles about us. They had a reporter come up. She actually covers the Syracuse men's basketball team, so she's very interested in esports, and Syracuse is still trying to figure out what they're doing in that regard. But she is probably going to come up here for our grand opening in October, so that's a nice connection for us. This is where I name drop some of the national names. ESPN has covered us twice, and then in multiple tweets and social media posts throughout the last year. eCampus News is doing a three-part series on us, featuring Randy Siminski, Molly Mott, and then we're working with Extreme Networks, who did our technology infrastructure here. They're partnering with RacePoint, which has helped us get some of these media contacts that we normally wouldn't have. So definitely thankful for that. But so eCampus News is one of those pieces. Kotaku, most people say, what the fuck is Kotaku, right? That's a big video gaming website. Oh, okay. So they did a nice feature story on us in our arena.
I saw it on the Australian version.
Yes.
It's all over the world.
Yeah, I think it's a segment of Engadget, if you've heard of Engadget. EdScoop is another media outlet that did a story with us. Tech Republic just did a Skype interview with us, featuring Randy, Molly Mott, and Kyle Brown. Hopefully that will be out in a couple weeks. We didn't quite get stories from these outlets, but we're getting calls from the Wall Street Journal and Forbes, and we did some interviews with Forbes. Forbes. I'm not sure where the Forbes story went, but maybe next time. And as Corey mentioned, our grand opening will be October 11th. We'll have a roundtable discussion, ribbon cutting. The commissioner from the ECAC conference is coming, bringing some folks and some swag. We're trying to get some folks from Alienware. They're a segment of Dell. They outfitted our lab with all the computers that we need to compete. And also some media folks from Extreme Networks will be coming up. So the highlight will be the Thursday night. We're trying to work out an Overwatch match, an all-female Overwatch match, hopefully the first one in the history of esports, with Stevenson College. We're trying to get them to come up here, but they've at least committed virtually to play against us that Thursday night. And then, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding. What's the program that's closely related to esports? Our game design and development program. And we had 260 plus apps, and we have 78 students as of the census date last week. So 78 new students that we didn't have that will offset some of our new campus classes.
What time,
mentioned,
what
the
time is the grand opening and all of that?
So it'll be 3 o'clock on Thursday, October 11th. We'll start off with a roundtable discussion in Kingston Theater. Roundtable will be about an hour, and then we'll have some formal remarks from President Safran and others. And the ribbon cutting will be around 5:30 over in the Esports Arena, and then the competition will start at about 6 o'clock.
We're actually streaming that competition in the Kingston Theater, so you all are welcome to come and enjoy it in the theater. We're trying to do our, with our students, we have the stands events for things like men's soccer and basketball, and
and then the next day we'll be adding tournaments for League of Legends and Overwatch and some other games. So hopefully we'll bring 3 or 4 other schools to the campus and really showcase what we have here in our esports arena. So you mentioned our student opinion survey rankings, so we got some nice coverage on that. We got the both the full digitally, if you will, on News Junkie for that, highlighted in North Country Now, and also the front page of the Augsburg Advanced News, so on the front page. We got coverage on our U.S. News and World Report. As Rainey Smithy said, arguably one of the best stories we've had covered about U.S. News, and that's really because we sold our agenda, and we had a nice quote from Doug about our retention and graduation rates. I don't think we really even mentioned U.S. News, but we sold our agenda here, so some nice coverage there. In terms of some national ad placements that we're working on or have worked on, Military Times went out in July. That goes out to the 4 major branches. That goes out worldwide. So we had a nice half-page ad in that publication. I think he posted it in his Making Glad a few weeks back. We got the inside cover of the NASCAR Pole Position magazine that went out to the Watkins Glen race. The College Association actually helped us with that one. They paid for the ad and set everything up. So that was a nice little piece. And that's available digitally as well. So anyone who's interested in NASCAR can see our ad. It's front page. Or, excuse me, front inside cover. We continue to do some hospital ads in the Manhattan and Long Island areas. We have an ad in Lenox Hill, and also in Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat, or as they call it, NEAT. And again, you know, those ads are paying off because we have 272 healthcare management students, right, that leads the college with enrollments. This fall, we are going to run an ad in the Army-Navy game program. That's 60,000 people in the stadium, and then they have a reach of about 3.5 million because they, again, send it out to service members across the country and across the world. And we were able to do that with some help from our military veterans, some grant funding that they received there. Something that's coming up, it was going to happen last week, but because of the hurricane, obviously the Associated Press had some pressing things to cover, but we have a reporter coming up from New York City from the Associated Press to cover funeral services management. And then also, he is going to highlight one of our alumna in the New York City area, Tamara Colton. So you may remember her from a previous After Camp when she was mentioned, I don't know if it's spring or the fall version, but yeah, so that'll be a nice piece for our funeral services program. As we said in the 50-year video, we can't wait to see what happens next. Well, things are happening here, so. You can see, so that concludes the report.
Questions? And that doesn't even mention all the wonderful things they did for the wrap-up of the 50 Years on the Hill initiative. So it's been just amazing. And, you know, I get the Watertown paper daily, and I'm very annoyed when I look at the front page and there isn't.
Put a dollar value on the front page, and it's tens of thousands out. You can't buy it. Tens of thousands of dollars.
It's really great. Okay, I know our time is limited, and so Karen, can you say a few words about faculty governance?
Faculty governance is kind of, after a new program announcement and everything goes out, faculty governance has to process through all the new courses. So coming up are a lot of new courses for the early childcare program. And because we try to ladder our curriculums, when we come up with a four-year program, sometimes it means going back and making some changes to the two-year program, so everything works nicest for the students. So that's going on with that one. We have a couple new minors coming up, and faculty, we're working on a task force for study of faculty staff workloads. Essentially, we're going to look at workloads and some new metrics and compare them to some peer institutions. Dr. Superman asked to do that late last spring, and that's ongoing. So right now, those are our next week's objectives.
And Jim, about UDP?
As you've already heard, we have a new contract, so we're very happy about that. The members are extremely excited. They haven't had a raise in a couple of years, so that'll be good news. The mood has improved on campus, I think. The people were getting a little frustrated with no news was bad news in our case, so that's gone well. Going to be fighting, but I don't know if you know about the Janus decision that was made, where we don't have to be a closed shop anymore, we can't be, and therefore people can opt out of being in the union and still get their all the benefits of the union, basically, which, good news as so far, the state only has lost 37 people total from the UUP, so it doesn't look like people are bailing out. People understand the power of the union and what it does for them. Right now, that's pretty much what my life has been. So, that's in a nutshell.
And on our campus, we're very supportive of our unions. We work closely with them, and we will continue to do so. We had a good meeting earlier this year dealing with the state's, SUNY's desire to have stronger policies on consensual relationships on campus, so we had a good discussion on that. And I'm glad that our unions felt confident enough about us to have this conversation with us. That was very important. Can you believe this? After hearing everything that you just heard, it occurs to me that there's something rather big that nobody mentioned. Okay? And that is, in the athletics area, we're playing Cornell in basketball. Right? Can you believe it? Division I basketball. This is November 9th, I think. Okay. And as it turns out, that came to mind when Travis was speaking, because the folks in PR came up with this fairly crazy idea, which is, you know, the thing that Jerry Seinfeld does where he goes in a car with other comedians and gets coffee, right? Well, they had me go in a gem car with one of our students and have that kind of a conversation. And he mentioned he was one of our basketball players, okay, and Abu Smith. And so he mentioned this. And so hopefully they'll be able to edit that so I'll look at least somewhat intelligent while I'm trying to drive the gem car. But how exciting is this? We're playing Cornell Division I basketball in an exhibition game. And that the other stuff is so... There's just so much of it that didn't even make the list. It's amazing. So really great things are happening on campus. And with that, I conclude my report.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to bring before the council? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn and commence the tour.
Oh, and I should mention, I'm afraid, one more thing.
Yes?
And that's that Barrett Wolf, who wasn't able to be here, did want me to mention that she's headed to the SUNY UFS planning meeting at the end of the week and will learn more about some proposed changes in general education. And the first plenary is in October in Binghamton, which you will also be in.
Thank you.
John?
Should we at least give them an FYI that the Chancellor possibly is?
Oh, yes, the Chancellor.
The other part of the
Chancellor is scheduled.
Something
but
all, you know.
Well, I just saw the Chancellor. Okay. The Chancellor is planning to come out campus on election day. Okay? And so in the afternoon, so we're looking forward to her visit. I was just down in New York City on Thursday and Friday for her inaugural party and then her inauguration. Okay, it was a very nice event. Had a chance to chat with her a bit as well. Saw our previous chancellor, Nancy Zimpfer, down there, who said, I'm hearing a lot of good things about what's going on at SUNY Camden. So I was very happy to hear that said. Okay, and so the word is getting out there. And so we're looking forward to showing our chancellor our campus and all the great things that are happening here. She's expressed a lot of interest to me already and said she wants to talk and hear more about the badge in leadership that we've developed, because I think she wants to bring something like that to scale across. And so people are looking to SUNY Camden.
That's great. Okay, thank you. Motion to adjourn.
I can make that motion. But before I do, tell you, old lady, I have never been so impressed. I've been on a lot of boards. Every one of you guys are doing a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't one of you that isn't working at 110%. And you're making this place absolutely different. Something all of you. You're pulling all the strings and keeping them together. And I'm glad that I can just at least sit and listen and think and part of it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, as I said with the student opinion survey results, this isn't anything that any one person, including myself, can take credit for. I came here, I was really blessed in having a wonderful senior leadership team already here, and we've had some new additions, and they've been terrific, and we're succeeding. Okay, that's not to say there aren't bumps in the road, there always are. Okay, but we try to address them honestly and ethically, and to keep moving forward like all good kangaroos. Okay, and I think our successes by far outweigh, where we have not achieved as much as we hoped, and we keep on trying.
Yeah.
And so it's a campus-wide effort, okay? Absolutely campus-wide. We're going to have an ice cream social, actually, to just thank everybody for everything that they've done, okay? Because we, no one person could have done this. No senior leadership team could do this. It's everybody on campus all pulling together in the same direction.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. So Marie has made a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Grace, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.